started. We are in Proverbs. You can open your Bible up to Proverbs. You can open up to chapter 9. So, alright. So, the Bible has a lot of things to say about a lot of things. And we talk a lot about the things that it has to say. And one of the things we say a lot, or that I say a lot, is it's important to apply the things that you're hearing. Many of you guys know a lot of things about the Bible, but it doesn't really matter how much you know if you don't apply any of it. So the good thing about Proverbs is there's no really like stories in the book of Proverbs. There's some like short passages, you know, where it kind of is the same for a few verses in a row, but most of Proverbs is like one verse at a time. There's not like one continuous story that goes through the book. Obviously there's some themes and things, but, so that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's good, because, you know, every verse is something new you can take and apply. Whereas like in a story, when you read a story, you're trying to pick out elements of that story that, of things that you can apply or how does this fit in with your situation? How can you use what you're learning? But the book of Proverbs is like every single verse. If you're reading it and you're paying attention to what you're reading, you know, like most verses should kind of hit you and they should be, you know, hey, here's something that you need to fix in your life. Here's something that you're doing a great job at. Don't worry about that one right now. Like, you should come across verses in the book of Proverbs when you read it, that challenge you to make changes in your life, that, confirm things that you're doing right in your life. So the book of Proverbs is full of opportunities to apply things. Maybe more than any other book, just because there's so much. We talked about on Sunday, there's, roughly 900 individual Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. And so there's a lot of things that you can take out of there and apply. We talked about some of the themes and some of the different characters that you come across in the book of Proverbs. We're not going to spend much time talking about those tonight because we did that on Sunday. But if you guys were here on Sunday in the handouts, one of the pages that was in there, I was reading through it this week. It's this one, Modern Thinking Compared to God's Instructions in Proverbs. I thought about just going over this page, honestly, tonight, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. It just talks about, you know, modern thinking about how to deal with money, how to deal with friends, how to deal with neighbors and enemies, how to deal with life, how to deal with religion. And it talks about what the world has to say about that thing, and then like a couple of proverbs that deal with that same thing. There's a lot of really good stuff on those notes that Jim's put together. But there's just a lot of things in the book of Proverbs that you can grab out and you can apply. But I want to talk about just something that I came across. That's what we do on Wednesday nights, is I'm reading through the book as we go through it, and I try and pick out something or some things that, stood out to me that have some application either in my life, or something I think would be beneficial for you guys. So I was reading in Proverbs chapter 9, and, one of the characters that we did talk about on Sunday that we're going to talk about tonight is the simple. Do you guys remember when we talked about the simple? What was something about the simple person that we talked about on Sunday? Anybody remember? If you weren't here on Sunday, you have a pass. If you were here on Sunday, you don't have a pass. Were you here on Sunday?
No.
No. You
hey,
have
Dad.
A pass.
Dad, were you here on Sunday?
No.
Oh. I don't think so.
No, we didn't get here to class. We was at main service.
Who was here on Sunday? Jackson, my son. Also this Jackson. Were you here on Sunday? No, you guys weren't here on Sunday. You were here? Well, it's a bit simple. You remember anything about the simple we talked about?
I don't remember.
Man. All right.
I'm just going to read it then.
Is it a lost person?
No, not necessarily. So there was 10 different characters that we talked about. The simple, the fool, the evil man, the strange woman, the brawling woman, the virtuous woman, the angry, the sluggard or slothful, the gossiper, and the wise. So the simple one, it says, we all start out simple in life. A simple person is unlearned. They're easily deceived. They're not wise to the ways of the world. Initially, they may not care about getting wisdom. The book of Proverbs is written to the simple, which is you and me, to guide us and to encourage us to pursue wisdom, to develop the skills necessary to live a successful life with God. Okay, so when you come across the word simple in the book of Proverbs, put yourself in that position, right? I mean, we shouldn't stay simple all the time, but all of us are simple to some degree. And when we see warnings about being simple, we should heed those things. So in chapter 9, verse 4, It says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." And it goes on and talks about what she said. This passage is talking about wisdom. So when it's talking about she, it's talking about wisdom. And so a lot of times characteristics like this in the Bible are identified as she. So wisdom is talked about as a she. And so when it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither." Okay, so if you're simple, meaning you lack some knowledge, you lack some understanding, you lack some wisdom, maybe you're young, either physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally, you're young in some way, you're simple. And that doesn't mean that you're stupid. It means that, like, you're unlearned. You haven't, like, been exposed to the things of the world. And so a simple person is more susceptible to being, tricked or fooled in some way. And so a simple person should gather wisdom. Like, they should, like, seek out wisdom so that they're not simple anymore. The more wisdom that you gather, the less simple that you are. You have a question?
You're saying they're baby Christian.
Huh? Yeah, baby Christian. Could be a lost person. Could be a physically young person. Like, it could be a lot of different things, but somebody that's simple is just somebody that doesn't have any understanding or wisdom. And so it talks about, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither." If you're simple, turn to wisdom. Like, and where do we find wisdom? We find wisdom in the Word of God. So one of my life verses is in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So it's talking about Peter and John, and they're saying, like, hey, these guys are not college-educated guys. These guys are not what we, the smart people of our day, we would look at these people and we say, these people are unlearned. They're ignorant. They don't know anything. They're not as smart as us. That's what this verse is saying. But when we look at these guys and what is happening in their life, we can see that they spent time with Jesus. That's what Acts chapter 4 is talking about. These guys were not maybe, like, book smart, or they hadn't been to, you know, a university. They hadn't been through sat under the teaching of really smart people or intelligent people. But the people who were those people, the people who were the intelligent people of that time, looked at Peter and John and they said, these guys have been with Jesus. They have something different. Beyond the knowledge that we have, these guys have wisdom. These guys have, like, life experience. And in a lot of ways, that trumps the knowledge that these men had. And so when people look at my life, and hopefully when people look at your life, I'm not going to be this. I mean, I'm not a stupid person, but I'm not the smartest guy, you know, in the room. I'm not the most talented at a lot of things. But hopefully, like, at the end of my life, hopefully, or even during my life, people can look and see, hey, that guy spends time with Jesus. Like, that guy knows some things, not because I'm smart or because I'm super talented in some way, but because God has allowed me to learn things and has taught me things because I'm spending time with Him and in His Word. And so that's one of the reasons that's one of my life verses is because that's what I desire to have people see about me. So when I read in Proverbs chapter 9, "Whoso is simple, let him turn it hither," like, seek wisdom from God. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 22. The book of Proverbs does this a lot. Most time it's in the same verse. It'll say, you know, "Whoso is simple, da da da," but "whoso is," you know, and it'll contrast itself in the same verse. But then there's a lot of times like this where it'll say something about the simple person and how they should turn in and seek wisdom in chapter 9. But then in verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And so in this case, it's talking about somebody who's prudent, somebody who's maybe been through some stuff and has some experience, they're going to see, oh, hey, something bad is coming. I've been down this road before. I've seen this situation play itself out before. I can anticipate that there's something bad that's at the end of this if I don't change course. Elias, stop throwing pins. If I don't change course, I don't make a correction, I'm going to end up in this bad situation. And so the prudent man sees it coming and turns away from it, right? But it says, but the simple pass on and are punished. They don't identify that there's a threat. They don't identify that there's something coming up. They just don't. It's not because, again, not because that they're stupid or that they've done something wrong. They don't have any experience or any wisdom. And so when I read those two verses, you know, like, and compare them with each other, It tells me that people who are simple, which again is all of us at one point or another in our life, whether we're young physically like you guys or young spiritually or however, or immature or whatever, all of us are simple in some way. And so we have a choice, right? We can do what it says in chapter 9. We can recognize, okay, I'm not wise in this area. I don't know a lot about this situation. Before I just go full on into this situation, let me take a minute. Let me turn and see what the Word of God says. Like, I'm getting ready to make a decision in my life. Perhaps I should consult the Lord about this first. You know, like, maybe I should pray about this. Maybe I should spend some time in His Word. Maybe I should talk to someone who is wise, who has been down a similar road before, and maybe I can get some advice and some opinions. And what does God think about this situation? What do people who have some authority in my life think about this situation? For you guys, most of you guys, that's going to be your parents. That perhaps is going to be me or Pastor Brian or somebody else in your life that, if you've been through discipleship, your discipler, somebody like that, that, hey, I haven't been in this situation before. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm needing help, and I'm recognizing that I don't have the answer, and I don't want to get myself in a bad position and get blindsided because I'm not foreseeing something. And so, when we're simple, when we're in a situation where we don't know, we have a choice. We can just, I think everything will just work itself out. It'll be fine. Proverbs 22:3 warns us against that. Or we can take what Proverbs chapter 9 says, and we can step back, we can turn in hither, see what wisdom has to say, gain some wisdom from the Word of God, and see how that might affect the decision that we make, and how we might move forward in that situation in a different way. And so the world is wicked and evil. You guys know that. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of things that present themselves in our life that can trip us up if we're not ready for it. The word wicked, anybody want to guess how many times wicked is in the book of Proverbs?
71.
22. 22, huh?
30.
30? 35. No. 81. No. 80. A lot. Elias was closest to that. 87 times. It's the most of any book in the Bible. Didn't you say 71?
I said 71.
Yeah, I said until Brendan said 85. I was about to say you, and then he said 80, and I'm like, oh, wait, he's got it closer. 87 times. So it's in the whole Bible 344 times. So 87 times in the book of Proverbs it talks about the word wicked. And so just a few examples. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Again, this isn't news to you guys, but it's a good reminder that we live in a wicked world. There's a lot of things that can trip us up, that can cause us to stumble, that can get us into trouble if we're not walking prudently and wisely and paying attention to what's going on around us and seeking the Lord's wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Anybody want to read that for me? 13 to 17? Okay, so it's telling us, hey, grab hold of some instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Cling on to the instruction that the Bible provides us, because that's our lifeline. That is how we're going to get through these things. And then it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. And then it goes on and tells, like, these people who are wicked, they don't sleep unless they've done mischief, right? Their whole life is doing and performing things that are evil and that are wicked. And so it's a warning for us, like, hey, be aware of the wicked things. Grab hold of instruction. Hold on to it tight, because that is our lifeline to getting out of or avoiding bad situations. Turn to chapter 11. Somebody read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 11 for me.
The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that showeth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness cometh to life, so he that preserveth the whole pursueth the truth on death.
Okay, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, And then talks about sowing and reaping. We've talked about that before. If we spend our time investing our time into the Word of God and godly things, we're going to reap fruit from that, right? If we sow our time and our energy into wickedness and just doing what our flesh wants, and that's going to lead down a different path. We're going to reap the consequences of that. And so we don't want to be in that situation. But oftentimes we find ourselves there, especially if we're not on the front end trying to prepare ourselves and trying to, while we're young, while we're simple, to gain as much wisdom as we can so that when we're presented with a situation that we know how to respond. And of course, you're not going to know every single situation, but it's important to have some principles and some foundations in your life of, this is the kind of person that I am. I'm a person who does this. I'm a person who doesn't do this. Like, what are those character traits? What are those character qualities that we're going to instill now so that when we're presented with an opportunity to fall into some sin or to be in a bad situation or to go down and be wicked in some way or the wicked are trying to trip us up, we're going to be able to fall back on the principles that we have established on the front end. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24. One more passage about wickedness. Proverbs 24, verses 19 and 20. So let me read those two for me.
19
and
20?
Yeah.
Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out.
Okay, so there is wickedness around us. There is all these things I've been saying. There's so many more. There's 87 times that wicked shows up in the book of Proverbs alone. So there's a lot of verses we could look at. But this verse is telling us, don't be afraid of evil men. Right? We don't have to be afraid of those things, but we need to be aware of those things, and we need to recognize that it exists and that it's out there and that it is coming for us. You know, we have an enemy that is seeking to destroy us. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But all of us, especially at like your guys' age and as we grow up physically, like you guys have in the last 5 years, think about where you were 5 years ago. Most of you guys were, you know, 12 years old or whatever, right? You were children. I mean, still you're children, but you're teenagers, like you're growing up. So we want our spiritual maturity and our emotional maturity to be able to keep up with our physical maturity. As we grow physically, we should be growing spiritually right alongside of that. And that only happens when we spend time in the Word of God, but not just spending time in the Word of God, but then applying the things that we're getting from the Word of God. And so, the more time you spend in the world, the older you get, and the more exposure that you get to the world, the more you recognize how wicked it is. Some of you guys are homeschooled. How many of you guys are homeschooled? 1, 2, 3, 4. Four homeschools. How many private schools or Christian schools?
Okay.
1, 2, huh? How many public schools? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So that's like a decent split. So I went to Christian school for a year and a half, kindergarten, half of first grade. Middle of first grade, I moved from Grandview down to Raymore, and I went to public school from first grade all the way through the time that I graduated. And as I was getting this ready, I had not thought about this in, 20 years probably. But when I remember in first, I mean, as I'm talking, as I'm like writing this out about wickedness and how the world around us is wicked, and I was going to talk to you guys about how, you know, you public school kids especially, you guys know the wickedness that exists in the world just being around people. The older you get, you have a job or you're more exposed to things outside of your own household. You start to see these things. So I'm typing this out, and this story popped into my mind. I remember vividly in first grade, it's one of the earliest memories I have in elementary school. And this kid, so I just started going to this school, and this kid asked me to write something on his arm that was not appropriate, should not have been writing it on this kid's arm. But he didn't know how to spell it, and I don't know if I knew how to spell it either. I don't remember how I spelled it. But he asked me to write it on his arm. And I don't know if I ever heard that word before or had thought to even write this word down. But like, and I don't know if he even knew what the word meant or anything about it. He obviously didn't know how to spell it because that's what he was asking me to do. But it was just like, why do kids do stupid things like this? Why do we write, you know, I mean, we just, I mean, I'm guessing, I don't remember exactly, but we just, you know, we know this is like not a word we should say. And so we're going to write it on this kid's arm, you know, like, he asked me to write it down. And so that's just a little example, but those things, I mean, I had been in a Christian school. I grew up in a Christian household. Like, I had not been exposed to things like that. I mean, that was not something that I was going to just run into at my house. But when you're in school or when you get a job or when you're just out in the world, like, you run into these things. You hear things. You hear people talking in a certain way. You hear people telling stories about things. You see people doing things. Like, you're exposed to all those different things. All of you guys probably have a phone. Okay, I got my first phone when I was 16. It was not a smartphone. Those didn't exist then. We did have internet, but it was not like it is now.
T9.
Yeah, T9 all the way. I had the Nokia brick phone with the interchangeable faceplates.
I was about to send 1,000 texts a month.
Oh, you could not text on my phone when I got it.
Yeah.
Texting was not a thing when I got a phone. The internet wasn't a thing. Texting wasn't a thing. There was no social media. It was just...
These guys send 1,000 texts a day.
Yeah.
They get on their phone and I had 199 messages. I'm like...
Yeah,
it's
no.
This is what my phone was like. I had a phone.
Sorry.
I had a phone. I put it in the glove box of my car, and that's where it lived most of the time. Because it was only in case I got in an accident or I was out stranded somewhere. My mom wanted me to be able to call home if I needed to. You had so many minutes you could use per month or something. So, like, we just didn't use phones. Like, it wasn't a thing like it is now for you guys. But now you guys, I mean, the reason I'm saying that is you guys have wickedness, like, at the tip of your finger. You guys can look at things you shouldn't look at. You can do things that you shouldn't be able to do. You can spend money like you shouldn't be able to spend money. You can gamble on things. You can do all kinds of stuff from your phone.
Actually, gambling requires email. Whenever you give them their email, it attaches to your Google account. It's like, no, you're too young to do this.
And children.
There's ways around it, I'm sure. I'm sure there are people your age who are gambling on their phones. Anyways, my point is, you have access to just about anything you can think of or want to try. You have access to it from your phone. And the more exposure you have to the wickedness of this world, the more you need to be in the Word of God and applying those things, because you don't want to be that simple one that passes right on by, not realizing the danger, and is punished, right? And falls into a really bad situation because they just weren't aware. And so the easier it is to do something, the more we tend to do it. Right? If there's little restriction to it, the more we tend to do it. Right? I mean, you guys can look, if you have an iPhone, you can look and see how many times you pick up your phone to just look at the screen, right? It's easy to do. It's in your pocket, it's on your desk, it's on your table, it's wherever. It's within 3 feet of you all the time, pretty much. And your phone keeps track of how many times did you tap the screen, how many times did you unlock it, what was the first app you went to. Like, you can see all those things if you have an iPhone. I assume it's something similar on Android. But the easier something is to do, the more we do it. It's just easy. It's just, now I want to see what's happening. And mine's the same way. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of times I check my phone on a daily basis. It's kind of sad. But the easier it is, the more we tend to do it. The more we do it, the less we think about it. Okay, so the more you're doing something like that, the less you tend to think about it.
What did you do all day during school when you didn't have a phone?
I don't know.
Learn. Ask notes.
Yeah, we did pass notes and stuff. I don't know. I don't remember exactly all what we did. Okay. So the easier it is to do something, the more you tend to do it. The more you do it, the less you think about it, and the less you think about it, the easier it is to just do it, like, subconsciously. Okay, so think about this. So the example of your phone, right? I don't even think about it. You guys probably don't even think about it most of the time when you pick it up. It's not like, oh, I want to see what's happening. Let me pick up my phone. It's just, you know, you're doing something else, and you're like, oh, I haven't checked my phone for a minute. And you don't even think about it necessarily, but you just kind of do it subconsciously. If you guys drive, hopefully you haven't learned this yet, but I'll be driving. I could drive an hour or 2 hours, and I don't remember how I got there. Like, I mean, I remember, but, like, you just get on autopilot, and you just kind of, you're driving, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just navigated myself all the way to my house, and I wasn't really even paying attention. I think all the adults in here would say that is something that all of us do, because we're just, we're so used to driving it. It's the same route. It's the same routine. It just gets easy.
I don't understand. I'm paying attention to the road than the other crowd.
Yes. So especially at your age, you haven't been driving very long. You should be more focused on those things.
I completely focus on the road. I still nearly crash every time I drive.
Exactly. You need to be more focused on each individual step. I remember the first time I remember driving with my dad in the car and changing lanes. I swear he had me change lanes 15 times in like a 5-mile stretch, and I was just so stressed out. I'm like, there's so much to look at, so much to pay attention to, and you're having me change lanes so much. Like, I was like stressed out about it. But now I don't even think about it now. Now I just zoom around. I don't use my blinker half the time. I'm just navigating in and out of lanes. It doesn't matter. I'm just going. Okay? Huh?
Don't even look.
Yeah, I keep an eye on my rearview mirror. I know what's happening behind me, and I can just go in and out of lanes. So, anyways, my point is, the more you do it, the more you don't even have to think about it. Raise your hand if you play video games. How often do you think about what buttons you're pushing? No. You never think about that. You don't look at your controller. You're not trying to figure out what you're doing with your hands. You know exactly where your hands go. You know exactly which buttons do which thing. If you've never played video, who doesn't play video games at all? Okay, so... So if you don't play video games and you hand have all of you guys who play video games, if you hand your controller to someone who doesn't know how to play a first person shooter or something, it's like so annoying to watch them, right? Because they're doing this.
He's better than my mom.
You know, they have no idea what they're doing. They don't know what the buttons do. They're like, which button does this? And they have to look and see which button it is. And you just do it like without even thinking about it. If you play an instrument, it's the same thing. I don't play any instruments. So when I'm watching people play an instrument, I'm like, how are they even thinking about all the different things that they're doing with the valve? I know, exactly. That's my point. Is you don't have to really think about it. I mean, you have to think about what the notes are. Shh. You have to think about the notes. You have to think about how to play them. But you're not actually necessarily thinking about each individual thing that you're doing as you're playing because you're used to it. You kind of subconsciously are able to just go through the motions. And so it's like that in like all areas of your life. If it's something that you do on a regular basis, you kind of become numb to it and you just do it. You're able to do it subconsciously without really even thinking that hard about it. But the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8. Anybody know that verse off the top of their head? Do you recognize that reference? No, not that one. Yes. You know that verse?
Yeah.
What is it?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes, great job. That is exactly the verse I'm talking about. So,
I'm looking at your candy.
Oh, I can hear some candy.
Hey!
She quoted that verse exactly, without even knowing that it was coming. Now, I have a short video to play for you guys about this. Hopefully it works easily. Huh? Yeah. Alright, I want you guys to pay attention to these cute little warthogs.
Warhogs?
They're cute, I'm just telling you. Okay, you guys ready? Alright, this is the adult one, not the
Alright,
hold on. Okay, here we go.
Warthogs are a lion's favorite meal. So keeping their young alive is their main preoccupation. Keeping count, a task in itself. There's always one who's left behind.
Thank you.
Life is for living. Who knows when their time is up?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, think about this video in regards to the verse we just heard about our adversary is like a lion. Look at these simple little warthogs.
It's not me, it's a warthog.
In the past, it would have been game over for Carly. Now she has backup. A team. Even with a whole pride to help, digging warthogs out is still hard work. And warthog burrows have emergency exits. Lots of them.
It's always the simple little ones that make the noise. Watch this one, watch this. You guys like that range of emotions, that roller coaster of emotions that you just went on? Okay. So, how can we apply this video in the next 2 minutes to our life? Somebody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read verse 13. Okay, so while you're getting there, think about, okay, these warthogs, I did some Googling after this. They don't build those tunnels themselves. I guess they move into like other animals, have already dug out these tunnels. But there's all these tunnel network. But I got to think about, okay, so they can't build those tunnels after the lions are already there ready to attack, right? There's no way for them to build out from there. They have to be prepared on the front end, right? They have to have the escape route planned out. They have to know that they can get out a different way before the enemy is attacking, right? And so for us, we're the simple ones that need to be prepared and ready for whenever the enemy attacks. And even in this case, they had the safety of their home, right? They were out wandering around. The lions come to attack, just like the enemy does, okay? And they fled back to safety where they thought they could be safe. But even then, they were getting attacked still, right? They were trying to dig them out. Okay, but they had these escape passages. Somebody read 10:13, 1 Corinthians 10:13.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Okay, so if we're in a situation where we're tempted to fall into sin, or we're being tricked in some way, or we are not aware of the danger, and we wake up and find ourselves in danger. The Bible tells us in that passage that God will make a way of escape for us. Right? We need to do the work on the front end to be prepared to have like
okay, what kind of a person am I going to be? So that when I'm presented with a difficult situation, I do have a way of escape. I do have something that I can fall back on. I do have people that I can call. I do have, you know, whatever, safeguards in place where I can, like, not fall all the way into sin, or I cannot fall all the way into destruction, but I have a way of escape. And God provides that to us, but that requires us doing work on the front end and being prepared and being wise. And we only get those things from the knowledge that comes from the Word of God. And then wisdom is just knowledge applied. You take the knowledge that you learn and you apply it. And so at your guys' age, it's going to be more baby steps. It's little things, right? It's, I have an opportunity to cheat on this homework assignment, but I'm not going to do that because I'm a person of integrity, right? That's not a big deal in the scope of everything. Who cares if somebody helps you with your homework? But in the bigger picture, that is something to be aware of, right? Like, be a person of integrity. I'm not going to cheat, even though it would be easy and there's no consequences and no one's going to find out about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? You start going down that road, and then there's slightly bigger things that you start to encounter that you run into the same thing. Well, I didn't have integrity on this last one, and it's easier to go down that path. The more you do it, the easier it just kind of becomes on autopilot. Like what we're talking about with video games or driving or whatever else, we get those things on autopilot, and it can be really easy to continue down that. But it's the same way the other way. If my fallback is I'm going to read the Bible whenever I need to find out an answer before I make a big decision, before I do this thing or that thing, I'm going to check with the Lord first. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to read about it. I'm not going to make any decisions in the moment, right? If someone asks me, you know, like, hey, can you do this thing at church? Do you want to go on this mission trip? Can you lead this class? Can you teach this thing? Can you do a devotion at this thing? Yes, let me pray about it, right? Like, even those things, those are good things, but it's important to pray about. Make the decision where ahead of time, I'm going to pray about things. I'm going to seek the Lord's wisdom on it, and then I'll make a decision. And so then that becomes our default, like our fallback or our like subconscious thing without even thinking about it is I have to read first and I have to pray about that first. Or for you guys, I have to talk to my parents first. I can't make any of those decisions till I double check with my parents or till I do this thing. And so the more we can put those things in place, the more prepared we're going to be when the attacks come. And it's not if the attacks are going to come, but it's when the attacks are going to come. And they always come at inconvenient times, and they always come whenever, you know, we least expect it, so to speak. But the Bible promises that those things are going to come. But it also promises that God's going to make a way of escape for us. So, anyways, hopefully that encourages you or challenges you or makes you mad at me because I'm calling you out on your stuff. I don't know. Something. Hopefully it does something in your life.
So angry.
Let's pray. Yeah. Let's pray and we'll be done. Dear Lord God, thank you for...